You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Tuesday! I have to keep reminding myself it's Tuesday and not Monday. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boyson and Mario Tirabassi. Thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it. Make sure you smash that like button for us. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Make sure you're following us on all of our podcast apps, all that good stuff. Did I do the DraftKings read? Boy, am I rusty. We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. I might have done that already. I don't even know. Anyway,
I don't know why you're rusty. We totally got together yesterday and recorded a brand new episode. I mean, it's not like we had a day off.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I mean, there's many things wrong with me, but I don't know what's currently wrong with me. Anyway, how are you fellas doing?
Good. Did you guys have a good weekend?
Brilliant.
Yes. Enjoyable. And then it was ruined by a piece of crap hockey game last night.
Yeah. Do we want to start there or do we want to save that? We could probably start there, right? Just get to it quick.
Yeah, I mean, the Stanley Cup final is kind of a big deal in the world of hockey.
I mean,
kind of important.
Yeah. Look, good teams have lost games before, game sixes before, but how in the world do you get that far in the playoffs and get your ass kicked that badly at home in a must-win game to survive? That's
twice in the same series.
Yeah, that's tough.
I blame Jamie Benn. They were undefeated with him not in the lineup.
Sure.
0-4 with him. It's all Jamie Benn's fault.
Yeah.
Trade him to Toronto.
You can definitely point to that and not be wrong. Yeah, I mean, you would have hoped that, you know, if they were going to make a series out of it, that you'd at least get some excitement, maybe get to a game seven. But, man, that was quite the stinker that Dallas put up there.
Yeah, they should be ashamed of the way they came out. They were just dominated from the opening puck drop. They lost every board battle. They had no answer for the forecheck. And just they got shut out twice in a conference final by Adin Hill! No, half of the hockey world had no idea he existed until 3 weeks ago. You got shut out on home ice twice against him.
Yeah, and like you don't want to take anything away from him either, right?
No, but when you talk about
the best goalies, and again, the reason a lot of us chose Dallas to win was because of the goalie matchup. And Andre was bad. It wasn't just it wasn't like Adin Hill was great. He was good. Don't get me wrong, but like, my God, Andre was part of the reason Dallas lost. And I think if you're gonna predict how that series might go, that was not one of the realities I saw coming. Even though he had not been wonderful leading up to it, I didn't think he was going to potentially cost them the series. And he was bad. I don't know. Like, I don't want to go as far as to say like it's a Winnipeg sort of thing where you look at the thing and go, what can you do? Because they got to the Stanley or the conference final and they got to game six and the games were close early in the series. But like to lay two eggs, massive eggs like they did, both at home, that's weird. I don't know. Like, that's really hard to do, I think. Like, I don't know. It's hard to look past that for me and just say, oh, yeah, we'll go get him next year. I feel like there's something needs to change, and maybe it is Jamie Benn. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be able to turn something in, right? Something in that's on the backs of like your stars. And like Jason Robertson took some time to warm up, but then he started to show up late in the postseason. Miro Heiskanen had a really good postseason stretch, and Ottinger, yeah, I mean, you could talk about how, you know, they kind of relied on him a lot throughout the regular season, and maybe now, as you know, the NHL seems like it's going more towards like tandem goaltending duos. Maybe that's something that Dallas needs to think about and not rely solely on Jake Ottinger being their only option in net. I mean, only a handful of goaltenders can do that in the NHL. Like, it's not like it used to be. So, yeah, I mean, unless they feel like he can be one of those elite level goaltenders, like they may need to look into like, hey, like maybe we need a 1B. So I mean, the Dallas is still set up with some of their young players to be pretty competitive, you know, for the next couple of years. But it's those older guys like Sagan and Ben, and I know Pavelski showed up, but even he's on a short timetable. Like there might be some decisions that need to be made in Dallas to make sure that they don't go the way of the Penguins or anything like that.
Yeah, no, they got a young core there. Like they've done a real nice job of transitioning from the Sagan Ben era into this new core while staying competitive for the most part. That's really hard to do. Mm-hmm. But you have Jason Robinson, you have Miro Heiskanen, Yanni Hakanpää had a great series, man. He was just dumping people all over the ice. And then Roope Hintz became an absolute star this postseason. So it's kind of like, okay, old guys, move out of the way. We've got a new core, but I don't really know what you can do. I don't think anybody's, after, you know, last few games, I don't think anybody's lining up to give you a whole bunch for Jamie Benn and the rest of his contract. Even though he was fabulous in the regular season, 33 goals at age 33, Tyler Seguin is not the player he was. You know, he's definitely slowed down. He's not the threat he once was, and he's still got a hefty contract to go. So, you know, it could be just a series where I think we saw in games 4 and 5, Vegas lost their focus. And that's why that series didn't end sooner. They took their foot off the gas. And then Bruce Cassidy said, not anymore. It's time to play our hockey. And that's what they did from the opening draw in game 6. It was over. If Vegas doesn't take their foot off the gas and lose focus, that's over in game 4.
So right. Jamie Benn has 2 years left at 9.5. Next year in 2024-25. Tyler Seguin, 4 years left at 4.85 or 9.85. That's the Ben one. You could maybe convince somebody to take it on. That Seguin one, they're going to be stuck with that for, I mean, no. You're just going to have to live with that. Or you find your Arizona Coyotes who need to get to the cap floor and send them there. But for me, like, I know we've been talking about that sort of stuff with the Hawks, like bringing a vet who can score, playing with Bedard. Not at 4 years. Nope. Sorry.
No.
2 years.
That's why they were
long. Yeah, no way.
But they were really smart. Jim Nill gets nominated for the Executive of the Year award every year for a reason, because he was able to get Jason Robertson and Roope Hintz locked up to longer term, really good deals. That's like, so that Sagan and Ben deal, they don't really affect his young core right now. And that's very good GMing that hopefully Kyle Davidson is paying attention to over the next few years.
Yeah, so Hintz makes 8.45 until 2030-31. Good Lord. And Jason Robertson has 3 years left at 7.75. So both those guys making less than Ben and Sagan. Like, that is good GMing.
Yeah.
It really is. And some of the more expensive vets he has on a blue line, like, you know, like Ryan Suter is 38, but he's only $3.6 million for two more years. And Heiskanen is 23 and signed through 2028-29 at 8.45. So yeah, the big contracts he has are not like restrictive to bringing in other players to help. And you've got what you believe is your core, because I think Robertson is, I don't know if I'll go top 10 just yet, but he's knocking on the door right there.
Yeah, he's a star player in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's they are in good position to at least stay competitive. Whether or not this was their best chance at a cup remains to be seen. But I think they're going to be back in the playoffs next year. It'd be surprising if they weren't.
Yep. Well, and as you know, as shaky as Ottinger looked in these postseason, in this postseason, he's still only what, 24, mm-hmm. 23, 24. So like he's only, you would think, only going to progress and get better and be more stable, you'd hope, in Dallas's case. So if you have an upper tier, potentially elite level goaltender, like that can do a lot for you to stay competitive. So, you know, it's not like he's 34 and this was the last run of his career. Like he's just starting it. So, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, was it a really shaky postseason at times? Yeah, but he definitely can still come in and, you know, keep them competitive and be a part of keeping that window open for a few years.
Yeah, maybe Dallas has opened up as a potential landing spot for a guy like Alex Stalock, who can go there next year and start 35 games so Jake Ottinger doesn't run out of gas in the conference finals. Like, yep. It looked like he did. You know, I think they rode him too much. Yeah, he's only 24, but he's, you know, he's never had that kind of workload in his career. You know, he's either been in the AHL splitting time or in the NHL, not the everyday starter. And as you mentioned earlier, Mario, like the days of us goaltender starting 70 games a year are gone. That's just not happening anymore. So maybe they go out and get another proven veteran, an Alex Stalock type, who will go and can start 30 to 35 games. So Ottinger can get some rest in February and March, so he's fresh in April and May.
I wonder if the other Matt Murray, who we saw with the Texas Stars, he's an RFA this summer. I don't know if he probably doesn't project as a full-time NHLer, does he? I don't know. Maybe a backup.
I mean, he made his NHL debut this season, and isn't he like 30?
He's 25.
Like, wasn't that? Oh, okay. I thought yeah. The story was that he was an older guy. Well, yeah. I mean, that maybe that's
for a rookie. 25 is old for a rookie. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, for a goaltender, it's a little different, but yeah, I mean, maybe that's a guy that they're looking at is maybe he turns into a 1B and they were only using, what was it? Scott Wedgwood as kind of like, oh, we just need a stopgap veteran for that time. So that could be in play for Dallas as well.
It's a great name for a backup goalie, Scott Wedgwood. Just wedge him in there between starts that matter, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that anyone should draw any conclusions that Jake Ottinger is no longer an elite goalie. I think the thought of running out of gas makes a ton of sense because he played a ton because Dallas was in a race for a lot of the year trying to get the placement in the standings and everything. So they're going to lean on him more than ever. I still think he is going to be one of the best goalies in the game. He still might be. You know, it's a tough look, but when you kind of, peel the layers of the onion or whatever you want to say, he does have a bit of an excuse of being pretty overworked, especially in comparison to other goalies around the league.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that even though Vegas is on their way to the Stanley Cup final, Dallas has better long-term health. Based on what their roster has over Vegas. Vegas is like, this is their last shot with this group to get it done. And where Dallas, as we mentioned, has a lot of, has their new young core. So you could project, you could say, I'd rather be the Dallas Stars in 3 years than Vegas right now. You know, they might have the brighter future, even though the Golden Knights are heading to the Stanley Cup final. And my condolences to all of the media members who have to spend the next couple of weeks traveling between South Florida and Las Vegas. I mean, this job sometimes just, it really gets to you. So my heart goes out to all those reporters.
Yeah,
really going to suck. Yeah.
It's brutal. By the way, speaking of that, we are going to be in Nashville for the draft, and we should have some news as to where you can hang out with us coming this week. I joined the StreamYard late, so I didn't get to update the guys yet, but it's good news. So we have some news to share probably Thursday coming up. Speaking of Thursday at 2:00, we're going to talk to Liam McHugh of TNT. He's going to preview the Stanley Cup final. If he remembers how time zones work, I'll make sure I remind him. I'm going to send him every time zone from around the world in my reminder.
Isn't that an insane clown posse song? Time zones. How do they work?
I think so. Yeah. Yes, I do. So that'll be fun. But, look forward to that. Look forward to going to Nashville for the draft. But it's funny. We spent most of the show so far talking about Dallas and her failings. And I've been guilty of just sort of bypassing Vegas all the time and not really giving them the credit they need. They've earned it, man. Like, they're They're a good team, and the business-like nature of last night's game, that third period broadcast was like a talk show. They like we're not even calling the game because what's the point?
Yeah,
it was just Vegas playing out the clock. Like, we're not going to give up any chances. We're just going to win this and go home and call it a day and get ready for the cup final. That, like, the commentators were just talking to each other during the game. Ferraro's like, yeah, and the cup final should be exciting, you know, talking about everything going. Like, there was action happening. They weren't even acknowledging it because the game was so far over. And for Vegas to go into Dallas, and look, you start to get itchy. You're up 3-0. All of a sudden, it's 3-2. Yep. Nope. They just came out and were like, we are not losing this game. We're going to beat you and beat you quick. And your season's over. Thanks. Thanks for coming out, Dallas.
Yeah. All the pressure got flipped over on Vegas after losing game five at home ice. But you wouldn't have known that by the way they played. A little sad. It's got to be so satisfying for Bruce Cassidy, former Blackhawk Bruce Cassidy, good friend of current Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson. He gets fired from Boston because, you know, I guess it just
he wasn't had to change
a good
something.
Enough job. Yeah. Then he has to watch Boston set the all-time regular season record for wins, and they get booted in the first round, and he gets to the Stanley Cup final and gets to play the team that booted his ex-team out of the first round. and a funny stat came across my Twitter feed last night. It's the first time in history, first time ever the team in both the NHL and NBA lost a game seven in their home arena to an eighth seed in the same season. It both happened to Boston teams and both to Miami area teams, with the Celtics losing game seven in Boston to the Heat last night and Boston losing game seven at home to the Panthers in the first round. You really hate to see that, don't you?
Oh,
I mean,
brutal.
Boston fans crying in their Sam Adams just breaks my heart.
It's tough for Boston.
Bleacher Report had too. The Heat and Panthers had as many wins at TD Garden in this year's NBA and NHL playoffs as the Celtics and Bruins.
Call that team fraudulent.
I've heard somebody say that. Yes, that's true.
I've heard rumors that they may not have been as good as we all thought they were.
Yeah, I saw
somebody scream that at me one night.
Yeah. somebody in the chat mentioned, is Bobrovsky due for from Matty Boy XD, any chance Bobrovsky comes out flat in the finals? I think that's a concern for the entire Panthers team. It's gonna be 9 days off for them.
They had eight days off going into the Carolina series, and that didn't affect him one bit.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. Like, people need to realize they're not just home. You know, they're skating, they're practicing, they're doing all those things, but it's not the same as a game. And I also think, I wonder if it's different too with the cup final. You've got all this time to think about it and think about it and think about it and think about it. And then I think there's a benefit to just playing. But look, we'll talk about this, and then game one, Florida will win 5-0, and it will all be for naught. But I heard a stat yesterday in the post game. Was it like 8 of 10 teams with the lesser layoff have won the most Stanley Cups recently or something like that? Like, it is some significant number of the teams with less rest have won. So,
I've listened a lot on the 32 Thoughts podcast with Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick, my second favorite hockey podcast after this one. They've talked a lot in the Elliot Friedman's talked a lot in this postseason about Sergei Bobrovsky needs extra rest because he's like this like world record setting sweater where like he actually loses like 10 pounds a game and needs like an extra day just to like recuperate. So for some goalies, you might say this is a bad thing. This might be exactly what he needs. Go back and listen to some of those episodes from the playoffs where Friedman gets into it. Just how he just, I don't know, something about him. He just gets like, he sweats so much during a game that he needs like a full day just to like recover from a game. So 8 or 9 days off for him could be a good thing.
I wish I could lose 10 pounds of sweat in just one game.
I could gain 10 pounds watching a hockey game, but I can't lose them.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that could play a factor in him just kind of feeling rested. But yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said about staying in the routine of like, okay, game practice, game, practice, morning skate, practice, travel, game, like just kind of keeping in that routine and not having a long way off. And, you know, maybe they were able to kind of avoid the rust in the series against Carolina. But I mean, yeah, like you said, Jay, like now it's the final. Now it's, you know, all the hype. There's going to be the media day. You know, it's, you know, you're the center of the hockey universe for the next 2 weeks. Like there's a lot of pressure on that. So, I mean, I'd have to, you know, look up and down the lineup, but I don't think there's many guys on either side that have, you know, been here before too often, if not just maybe once. So it's going to be a new experience for a lot of these guys. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you're kind of breaking with that routine that you get used to in the playoffs when, you know, every game day, every travel day, like it's all kind of similar. So, it'll be interesting to see how Florida comes out. I think someone in our chat had the stat, the team with the most rests is 1-9 in the last, yeah, there it is from Ryan. Team with the most rests is 1-9. Like, I mean, not every stat rings true, but that's a hard one to look away from.
Are we doing predictions yet? Or no? Should we wait?
Why not? What's going to change? What's going to change? Is someone going to get hurt in practice? Hopefully not. Knock on wood for those teams.
I mean, we could give a prediction and then recap a prediction on Friday because we got to wait all the way to Saturday. I mean, it's hard to pick against the Panthers at this point, I picked against them in the last round. But I mean, with Pavelski playing the way he is, with Matthew Tkachuk playing the way he is, I don't know if Vegas has an answer for him. Nobody has yet. Both teams play very similar. They're ruthless on the forechecking. Should be a very aggressive, fun series. It doesn't seem it matters who plays goalie for Vegas. They're not facing a ton of shots. That makes your life easy. So it's hard to pick against the Panthers, but you know, I keep underestimating Vegas and they keep proving me wrong, but I think the Panthers just have that edge. I think it's their year. I'll pick them in six.
Okay.
Yeah. I picked against the Panthers in the first two rounds and felt foolish. So I picked them in the third round and now I feel vindicated. There's some teams where, you know, you watch a postseason. I mean, some of those Blackhawks teams in 10 and 13 and 15. I mean, you just knew, even from an outsider perspective, you kind of just knew, hey, this team's got something special going. And I feel like I feel that way about the Panthers right now, especially going through the Eastern Conference Final the way they did, the way Matthew Tkachuk has been playing, bringing character to that team, kind of being the face of that team in this run that they're on, and the way that Sergei Bobrovsky's been playing, like it's hard to pick against some guys that are just on absolute heaters right now. And you know, you need a star player to help put the team on your back in the postseason, and you need a goaltender to be playing some of his best hockey. And the Panthers have both of those things. Not to say that the Golden Knights don't. I mean, they've got a couple guys that are firing right now. Aiden Hill obviously is coming out of the depths of their goaltending chart, and you know, doing his thing between the pipes to get them to this place. You got Jonathan Marchessault. You got William Karlsson. Like these two staples of Vegas over the last couple of years, they're stepping up. And then you have Jack Eichel, who has yet to lose a round in his postseason NHL career. playing absolutely, at the top of his game. It's going to be a great series. I'm going to say Florida, and I'm going to say Florida lifts the cup on home ice with the rats all over the ice there in Florida, in six games.
As we're talking about it, I'm going back and forth on my pick, and I'm trying to, you know, I feel like I have not given Vegas enough credit, and just the way they dispatched Dallas was so impressive. But I look at the goaltending matchup, and even if Bobrovsky steps back to life a little bit, I'm still feeling better about him than Aiden Hill. Like, look, if let's say the Hawks had one game to win and we had the pick of Aiden Hill or Sergei Bobrovsky,
who are you taking? Right? Like, we're all taking Bobrovsky. The Matthew Tkachuk factor is huge, and Vegas has their share of guys who are playing great as well. I don't say this with any confidence, but because of the way Bobrovsky is playing and the way Tkachuk is playing, and Mario, you sort of mentioned it, like, there's years where teams just have a feel about them. There's just something about them. There's something about the story. There's something about, you know, there's snapshots of moments leading up to. We talk about Nashville Game 5. We talk about Seabrook eliminating the Red Wings and him going in the penalty box to get to remove Tave's head from his butt. And, like, all the, like, things that happen along the way that make you feel like this is our team. This is a team of destiny. I get that feeling with the Panthers. So I'm taking the Panthers in 7 and multiple overtimes.
Sure. Let's say extend as much hockey as possible. Extend it into June as much as possible. It'll make that break between the end of the Cup final and going to Nashville even shorter.
Yep, I'm for it. I when you don't have a horse in the race, when you're not a fan of either team per se, and you're just enjoying it, overtime hockey, oof, give it all to me. Every game, do it. Meanwhile, the Golden Knight fans and the Panther fans can lose a few years off their life and have their blood pressure shoot through the roof. But give me all the overtimes. I'm good for it.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, like you said, as long as we're not suffering through it, by all means. Like, oh my God, it was torture when the Hawks were in them. You just want to throw it. You lose 10 pounds a game like Sergei Bobrovsky, you vomit.
Yeah.
The more overtimes you have, the more wonderful, delicious Goose Island beer you can drink.
True that.
That is true. That is true. And for those nervy nights and those nervy overtimes, nothing helps keep you relaxed and ready for whatever than Goose Island and their tremendous roster of beers. Goose Island, they are flying over our heads, and they are the proud sponsor, proud beer sponsor of us here at CHGO, and they have been Chicago's beer since 1988. You check out some of their beers on their talented beer roster, like the Goose IPA, 6-time medal winner at the Great American Beer Fest, always in style with a citrus aroma and bold hop finish. You got the Tropical Beer Hug, the dry hopped Imperial IPA, which is a 9.9 ABV that is dangerously easy to drink. You got the Full Pocket Pills and Everyday Beer. It's what the Goose Island beer brewers are drinking. And of course, on these golden sunny days, you can crack yourself open a can of the Golden 312, the Wheat Ale, the staple of the Goose Island beer roster. And if you're in the Chicago area, grab an Ultra Fresh brewery exclusive beer at Goose Island's original brew house on Clybourne Ave in Lincoln Park, or you can go to their tap room on Fulton Street. That's in Westtown. Again, that is the Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
And as I've been looking at my weather app on my phone, we're finally getting a stretch. We've been waiting a long time for warm temps. Sun's going to be out a ton. And you...
Sun's out, guns out.
Absolutely. And you can take on the sun with gear built to last from our friends at Shady Rays, who have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers you a world-class product that's just as good, I say even better, than any expensive pair I've ever worn. They have durable frames and extremely clear optics for all your outdoor summertime adventures. It's finally here. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. When you wear Shady Rays, you can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. And you're going to look amazing and you're going to feel amazing because together with their customers, Shady Rays is providing much needed support to nonprofit partners across the United States through the Shady Rays Impact Initiative. They're doing everything from building play sets for pediatric cancer patients to providing young adults with MS the outdoor adventure of a lifetime. Shady Rays is making an impact in your community and others like it now and for years to come. And if you don't love your Shady Rays, but you're going to, so you don't really need to worry about it, but just in case, they will exchange for a new pair, or you can return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk. When you shop, their team always has your back. And yes, Memorial Day was yesterday, but the Memorial Day sale is still going on, and it goes on through the end of the month. That's tomorrow. So for today and tomorrow, head over to ShadyRays.com and you'll get 35% off all sunglasses. So you can try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. And you can add to that count because you will be happy. I guarantee it.
There you go. They are great shades. Don't hesitate. Now is the time. Pick them up. ShadyRays.com. All right. So some news broke about the Hawks later in the week last week. They are planning a massive $65 million expansion of the Fifth Third Arena. That's the vacant land on 303 South Damon. It is right next door to the arena. If you've been there before, there's Fifth Third Arena, and then there's a big lot of concrete. Well, that concrete now belongs to the Blackhawks. It's 135,000 square foot expansion. It still needs city council approval, but it is expected to create a ton of jobs. It's going to add 2 more rinks, so that'll be a total of 4 at Fifth Third, and 180 much-needed parking spaces. There will also be a Divvy station and a park for the neighbors of the area. So that's good news for the Hawks, of course. I'm reading here from Block Club Chicago, and they reached out to some of the neighbors and said they're happy about the development, but they want more visibility from the Blackhawks. One parent said they'd like the team to be more active in the Black community and help youth teams with the cost of hockey equipment. Quote, our kids aren't exactly riding on the ice, and the cost of accessing the sport is way out of our budget, one woman said. I would like to see if there's a real plan for that. I hope so. I hope so, because, look, 4 rinks is going to make that place way more available than it has been with just the 2. And, look, if you go in there, we can see the schedule of what's happening there, but a lot of teams play there. A lot of teams practice there. There is limited community time, but hopefully there's just one of these rinks as a community rink that can be used for open skate or learn to play or whatever. But yeah, it would be nice to see the Hawks get involved and make the game more accessible for kids around the city, especially in that West Loop neighborhood where they take up residence. West Side, I guess, more appropriately than West Loop. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you've been to the Fifth Third, you know, in the last few years, like, that facility is tremendous. You know, it's definitely a huge upgrade from where they were previously at Johnny's. And you know, they've really gotten a lot of good use out of it over the years. They've hosted a lot of, you know, they hosted NHL Media Day there a couple of years ago before the season started. You know, they host, you know, youth tournaments, you know, USA Hockey youth tournaments. Chicago Mission plays there. You know, there's a ton of use out of that facility, and it's just the 2 rinks. So now expanding to 4 rinks would be tremendous. You can get more people, more hockey. And yeah, I agree, more accessibility, you know, for the community in which, you know, you're located, I think is something that's really important. You know, the Blackhawks have, you know, done a lot to try and, you know, build community relations, in the last couple of years, with, you know, the indigenous community, and I think reaching out more towards, you know, the community that they're in on the west side of town would be great. I mean, that you want to be able to be representative of everybody in hockey. You know, it doesn't need to be, you know, we talk about hockey culture and how, you know, exclusory it can be because of the accessibility to the sport and, you know, financially and in the communities that, you know, usually you see hockey. I think the Blackhawks have an opportunity and kind of an obligation to really, you know, reach out and be a little bit more active in that community, be a little bit more visible in that community, and not just doing it for, you know, oh, here we're going to, you know, a photo op or anything, like more tangible, you know, deep rooted and long standing relationship building that I think can grow, you know, the hockey community in Chicago. There's already, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, guys that play in the NHL and women that play professionally that are from Chicago. But a lot of them are Chicagoland, you know, and I think, you know, the Blackhawks and Fifth Third and this community rink expansion can do a lot to potentially, you know, build up those like actual city of Chicago hockey products. And I think that would be a tremendous thing that the Blackhawks could be part of.
Well, I mean, and Corey brings up a good point in the chat, is part of this park they're talking about, maybe you build an outdoor, you know, like floor hockey rink, street hockey rink, just with, because we have one here in Homewood, like in Millennium Park. There's a like an NHL goalie net, like cemented into the ground, and it's like the size of a tennis court, and kids can come in there and shoot the puck on the net, and it's there all the time. Like, build a little outdoor roller hockey / you know, street hockey, floor hockey rink, so kids can walk up and start playing. I think even that can make a big difference. And you find five or six kids that love doing that, and then, hey, I want to learn how to skate. Okay. Then, you know, then you're starting to make progress. I think, you know, part of the reason that basketball and baseball are so popular in the United States is because you can pick up and play it. You can go find a park and play basketball pretty much anywhere, pick up a bat and ball and a mitt and go play baseball anywhere. That's the challenge that hockey has, is it's not accessible really to anybody, but when you've got money and, you know, it makes it easier. But in terms of like, hey, let's go have a pickup hockey game, that takes a lot of work. So having some park, having some facilities where kids can go play hockey, why the hell not? Just build a nice outdoor rink right there next to the stadium, or right there next to Fifth Third, and give kids the opportunity to check it out. And you could even do, like, we have sled hills in town, and you just leave, you know, sleds in this little box. It's like a rent-a-sled, and kids can come grab a sled, play, leave some those crappy like plastic sticks you have at gym class, they have to step on and bend the blade, and put a bucket of balls out there and let kids pick up and play when they can, you know.
Or you take a couple of, you know, $20 sticks from Gunzo's and just stick them out there. Yeah. Like, you know, you don't have to give them the melted plastic.
Sure.
You know, put out some real things, and that way, you know, it's a little bit more of the real feel, the real game, and you know, people can get attached to it that way.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason so many kids play soccer these days, because it's so easy to get your friends. All you need is a ball and a couple of water bottles to put down as the goal, and you play soccer. You don't need $8,000 worth of equipment and ice time and all that stuff. So yeah, it'd be fun. Hopefully they do something like that and maybe have some free community ice time, you know, they're going to have twice as many rinks, which now you have twice as much availability, and hopefully not all of that is just given away to the people who are paying for it. You know, you got plenty of revenue coming in. You can give away some ice time there for people who otherwise can't afford it. But as somebody who spent a couple of years coaching or scouting for the junior leagues, anytime I saw a showcase on my schedule at Fifth Third, I was like, oh, thank God, because it's such a great world-class facility, and the fact they're going to expand it and make it even bigger, it's great news. One thing that I would love to see is now that you got four rinks, or you will have four rinks, maybe then, you know, the Blackhawks can get a little, maybe get a group together and start pushing to get one of those professional women's teams here in Chicago, and they could play at one of the rinks there.
That'd be great.
You know, you build one that has a little more, maybe with seating on both sides of the rink instead of just one, where you could fit, you know, 1,000, 1,500 people in to watch a professional women's game. I think that's a huge opportunity to make that happen. So that'd be good. And, you know, more access to hockey is never a bad thing. And based on how well they did with the, you know, with Fifth Third Arena, I'm sure the expansion is going to be amazing. All I ask is, can you possibly squeeze in a podcast studio somewhere in the building, just in case? Just saying.
That'd be nice.
That
would be nice. Yeah, just a little soundproof room.
Yeah. We'll bring our own gear and our own decals and stuff, but yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be nice. Yes,
I think the big question is, with this expansion, does Dunkin' Donuts return to the Fifth Third Arena?
They effing better.
Or you get the first ever Chicagoland Tim Hortons and make everybody feel at home.
Hey, there you go.
Coffee, they need coffee and donuts back in there. I know that's first world problems, but man, it was so convenient.
It was nice.
Just walk downstairs and get a cup of coffee and a French cruller to get you through a morning skate.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people talking about the rumored women's hockey team. And I know, you know, the Chicago North Stars play. I don't know, is that like semi-pro? I don't think they could. I don't know how that works, but like, it's just such a no-brainer. Why would you not add Chicago to the PHF? It just makes all the sense in the world. There's interest. Yeah. There, you know, there'd be coverage. There'd have to have a new CHGO show, which would be great.
Hey,
you know,
like I know a few people who would jump on board.
Absolutely.
For that.
We could staff that show in 20 minutes.
By the time we're off the air, yeah, I could have it done.
That would be great. That would be great. So yeah, I mean, look, the more hockey, the better. The more opportunity, the better. And this is one of these things we're talking about where the Hawks can talk about their commitment to community and their commitment to growing the game. Here's a chance to either make twice as much money with your twice as many rinks or to use a rink and use some time to really help develop the game and grow the game in your community. And I hope they do the right thing. I really do.
There's a lot of revenue coming with that kid that they're going to be drafting here in 29 days. So you don't need to get greedy here with your practice rink. Do the right thing.
Well, I think the expansion of the rink too can, you know, I think there's, you saw what the cup runs did for growing a fan base. I mean, they have a lot of those fans still, you know, growing and committed to the team. They're going to get another fan base, another, you know, generation of fans coming through, likely in part because of Connor Bedard and some of these young players that are coming up, you know, over the next few years. They get a young, competitive, fun team. You know, you can do a lot with a team like that in growing a fan base. So you can pair, you know, what you're doing at the United Center, you know, having these young kids come in, having a guy like Connor Bedard come in and lead the team and get back to contention to where, you know, Chicago hockey is buzzing again. You pair that with the expansion of the rink and the, you know, the expansion and visibility in the hockey community in Chicago. Like there's a huge opportunity to continue to grow the fan base and make it one of the most fun fan bases in the city once again, like it was, you know, just a couple of years ago.
Yep. I can't wait for this to be done just for the parking.
That'll help.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. Make some of those days a little better.
Well, it's going to be next year is going to be interesting parking wise.
Yeah. I was just going to say once they get it approved and once they start working on it, what's that going to mean for the current Fifth Third Arena? Because, you know, next year's training camp, prospect camp, that could be also hectic. So
they should start west and build east. Just work west to east. So, you know, you get through everything the Hawks need to do for camp. There you go. That one's free, Blackhawks. It's not until next year they started though. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a good idea from our chat. The you know, getting a donut place in the Fifth Third. Why not make Stan Mikita's donuts a real thing? Right?
Of course. Then it's a destination too, right? Sell you get to sell merch. You know, you can. It's the name of the charity is failing me, but it's the organization that Stan represented for the deaf. You can donate some of the money there.
Oh yeah.
Like that's such a no brainer. Like that's such a, that is such an easy thing to do. Unless Stan's donuts was like, we're copywriting all Stan donuts. Last names can be thrown on there.
That's fine. Then just bring Stan's donuts in there. I would have no problem with that either.
Absolutely fine. Sure. That would be, they got the best freaking coffee. Oh my God. I love their Stan's coffee is perfect. It's so
fun. I would also not be opposed to a do right location.
Sure. I just
that would be fine.
Any donuts.
A different donut shop per rink.
There you go. Yeah.
And then you just name it like the Dunkin' rink, the Stan's rink, you know. Yeah. I have to call that one the He Heels Should Not Be Named rink. You know, it just, just move along. Do right rink. the ideas are just flying at us right now. This is great.
Hey, and these are free.
For now. Free for now.
For now.
Hey, though, with four new rinks, those energy bills are going to be high, fellas. What should the Hawks do about that?
Well, you know, if they're looking to save money and energy, also known as Munergy, they need to look into the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program because that is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities they serve, helping manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future.
Yes, sir. ComEd offers a wide variety of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across the territory. ComEd also offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, like for HVAC systems, commercial equipment, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes.
Greg, can you tell the people at the Blackhawks how those facility assessments work?
Yes. Dear Blackhawks, an authorized engineer will work with you personally to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. These can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers like the Blackhawks will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. If you own a business or a hockey team, don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips, lighting incentives, or to schedule your free facility assessment, you can head on over as soon as this show is over, please, to comed.com/poweringbiz.
That, again, is comed.com/poweringbiz. Is that spelled B-I-Z?
It sure is. B-I-Z. Schedule it right now as soon as this show is over.
And speaking of right now, as soon as the show's over, if you want to save on watching television, and who doesn't because it's getting expensive as hell, go to FuboTV.com/CHGO. FuboTV is where I go for my live television, and I am not looking back because I love it. 140-plus live channels of sports, shows, movies, and news. You can stream live TV from any device. That's clutch. Watch the most Chicago sports for the lowest price. And you can start watching immediately with a 7-day free trial at FuboTV.com/CHGO. There's no contract. There's no cable. There's no hassle. Just sign up and start watching. You'll get 1,000 hours of cloud DVR included at no extra charge. And you can watch your locals while traveling. You've got the WNBA underway, the NBA Finals on ABC. You've got the NHL Draft on ESPN, the Cubs on Marquee Sports Network. Yep, Marquee Sports Network is on FuboTV. You got the Sox and Bulls and soon-to-be Blackhawks on NBC Sports Chicago. F1, UFC, everything you want to watch is on FuboTV. Watch the Cubs on Marquee and the Sox on NBC Sports Chicago with FuboTV. Use the link in the description to sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. That is FuboTV.com/CHGO. That's FuboTV.com/CHGO. And if you noticed, in our two last reads, we both said immediately we've got Eddie O on the brain, and for good reason.
Yeah, I listened to a little bit of the Athletics Hockey podcast today with Craig Constance. I can't say his name.
Custance.
Custance. It's, I get myself in trouble with that one. Like, there's, yeah. I always want a certain extra letter that's illegal.
It's like custard.
Yeah. So our buddy Craig at the Athletic and Sean Gentile, they talked about the Penguins situation, and they were pretty much certain that there was going to be an announcement today. And so far, I haven't seen anything. But we're led to believe that it's our buddy Eddie Olczyk will be the next president of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And they are led to believe that Kyle Dubas may have already been given an offer to be the GM of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And that's very interesting on a lot of levels, because first of all, it was just a couple weeks ago, Kyle Dubas said it's either the Maple Leafs or nobody. Boy, that lasted long. You know, those family needs seem to not worry. You know, he still made it. We don't have official word, but if guys like this are reporting it, there's some real smoke to that fire. So that would be a very interesting move. Of course, we all know Edzo's been looking for a front office job for a while. Yep. Now, what does that president role mean with the Penguins? Are you just there to kind of meet with the sponsorships and, you know, be your, you know, face of the franchise? Everybody knows he's a very, very likable guy, can talk your ear off, can schmooze with the best of them. How much does he want? Does he want a front office job just to be there and wave and get sponsorships and go to, you know, city council meetings to get money to build this or that? Or does he want to be in control of the day-to-day hockey operations? And Kyle Dubas, as we've learned, part of the reason he's gone is because he wasn't allowed to have full control over the hockey operations. So it's a little weird that he would be willing to sign up for that sort of thing. And I don't know if Olczyk wants to have a president's job where he doesn't really get to touch the team. And then you have the workings with each other. You know, Kyle Dubas is, you know, an analytics guy. He's, you know, kind of out of that mold of a Theo Epstein, where he bases his judgments more on the analytics and the numbers, where Edzo is a old school, you know, eyeball test kind of guy. You know, we've seen him, we've heard him as recently as the Eastern Conference Finals have his grudges against players and teams for whatever reason. You know, so it's interesting. There's been no official word, but it's just the report that they reported on the Athletic Hockey Show today. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It would be, you know, very interesting to see. And one thing that was brought up on the show, you can go ahead and listen to them. They pretty much start the show with that talk. So I don't want to, you know, spoil everything they did, but they just said, you know, with Dubas, part of his problems in Toronto was, you know, pending big contracts for their core guys, and we overpay and this and that. He doesn't have to worry about that with Pittsburgh because their big guys are there. They're locked up already because of the last regime. So he's just got to worry about building a team around those guys.
Well, I mean, that's a dumb thing to to run away from. Like, oh, that's the main part of your job, dude, is to be able to handle those big contracts. I'm with you. Like, I thought Eddie wants to be a decision maker, a hockey decision maker.
He doesn't want to be a schmoozer. He doesn't want to be a you know, go to dinners and kiss people's ass type of guy.
And I'm not saying I think he's fully capable of both jobs, for the record. I think he could do the president thing. But the Dubas-Olczyk connection is very weird to me. Like, that just doesn't seem congruent for many reasons because – like you said, if Dubas wants a job, he wants full control. Eddie wants full control. And from what I can tell, their hockey philosophies are pretty different. And maybe that's, you know, you bring in, your rivals to help you run a team and you get every sort of possible way to look at a player, fine. But that seems not ideal for either guy because, I don't know, it feels like I could see it being very much like this. Where I'm punching my fist, by the way, if you're not watching on YouTube, like
butting heads,
a clash of I want my way, he wants his way, and also kind of a vying for if one of us gets fired, the other one probably takes the other's job too. So you've got two really high profile names at the top of the organization who don't have the same hockey philosophy. And it's not to say Eddie O doesn't value analytics at all. I don't want it to sound like that, but like,
it's old school.
I think if you're Pittsburgh, you just do one or the other. And either one, I think either one can work, but to put those two together, I don't know. That to me is that's a tough look for me. I don't know how that's going to work.
I think you're asking for a power struggle at that point, especially knowing what came out of Toronto between Shanahan and Dubas. Like, I can't imagine Eddie Olczyk is just signing up to, you know, take a team president position, but not have any say over, you know, hockey decisions, roster decisions, you know, personnel decisions, anything like that. That would be surprising for him to take that kind of role without those kinds of, you know, responsibilities or anything like that. So, hey, you could pair an old school guy with a new school guy and it can work out. But I think that the chances of that happening in the realm of hockey are a little bit less likely.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know. I don't see that working out, but as somebody who has not liked the Pittsburgh Penguins since 1992, whatever causes them stress and chaos, sign me up.
Well, and it's funny with Dubas too, because it's like he was on the cusp of having to make some tough decisions about Toronto's big players. And now if he takes this job, the offer's on the table and he takes it to go to Pittsburgh, he's going to have to make tough decisions about their big players too, even though they're not the rising young talented core four, as they call them in Toronto. It's the old guys. It's the guys that won the cups. Yeah. It's Letang. It's Malkin. It's Crosby. Gonna, you know, not Crosby, but you know, Malkin and Letang, like, you know, you're gonna have to make some decisions on those guys. And from what it sounded like in Pittsburgh just a few years ago, you know, the decision was to not bring back Evgeny Malkin, and then that got nixed, and they said, no, bring him back, bring back Chris Letang. Like, so I don't know. It seems like there's a mess to clean up in Pittsburgh, and Eddie Olczyk and Kyle Dubas coming in, you know, with mops and buckets is, I don't know, that's quite the visual.
Maybe they should just make Sidney Crosby the first ever GM / player in league history.
Make him player, coach, GM.
There you go. Do it all, Sidney. We're paying you enough money. Do something else.
Is that what Reggie Dunlop did in Slapshot?
Pretty much. Put the map of Florida on there. L. Pete in the chat says, I feel like having different ideas both pushing the same direction is the best way to do things. That's the key. Are they pushing the same direction? And just right. like we
a lot
talked
of ego
about,
involved with those two
yes.
guys.
And remember when we talked about, you know, Doug Wilson a couple weeks ago possibly being brought in as an advisor? Yeah, everyone's goal is to get the Penguins to win, right? But you're also going to have that power struggle. And when the disagreements happen, two really strong personalities with Eddie O and Kyle Dubas. I imagine the scene in Return of the Jedi where they're on the speeders and Luke and the stormtrooper are kind of like banging into each other. They're driving side by side, but they keep knocking into each other. Like, that's eventually someone's going to hit a tree, you know, like it's inevitable. And I just think those names specifically, I'm not saying the old school guy at the top and the numbers GM can't work together. I just think when you have two such high profile names in hockey doing it, that's going to be tough. That's going to be because I know, yeah. Like, I love Eddie O. He's always been nothing but awesome to me, but he's set in his ways. He is stubborn. He is opinionated. He knows what he wants. And I just feel like for him, he could probably wait and get the full opportunity he wants to be like what he who shall not be named was before he resigned, the complete hockey czar. The director of whatever it is, president of hockey or VP of hockey operations, whatever, and you do everything hockey-wise. And I think that is there for Eddie if he waits long enough. I just, him and Dubas to me feels like a nightmare waiting to happen.
I mean, they could work as they build a team, but as soon as there's some success, both of those guys are going to want to credit for being the guy who did it. I mean, we started to see that here. Different roles, but same situation between he who should not be named and Joel Quenneville. Those guys butted heads all the time because they had different philosophies on how things could be done. And you know, it was more like, you just give me the players and I'm going to do it my way. But no, I want you to do this. We saw that there. And that ultimately led to Joel Quenneville. Like, he who shall not be named couldn't wait to fire Joel Quenneville, and he jumped at the first opportunity he got and then screwed this team for years with his dumbass hiring. But, you know, that's all in the past. It's a strange pairing. But, you know, hey, maybe it works. Maybe it's not. And maybe none of this even happens. Like, I still haven't seen anything. Outside of the Athletics hockey podcast, I haven't seen anything about it. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, all those names have been circling all the, you know, the GM openings, front office openings, things like that this summer. So it's not a surprise that potentially both of them land in the same spot because, you know, there's only so many openings left as the summer goes on. So, hey, I mean, it's more power to the Penguins or less power, however they want to go.
It's funny. Yep. You mentioned the struggle between Q and Bowman, and you think about the moves made in that 2018 free agency where Q is like, I need like a physical defenseman. They signed Brandon Manning and they just brought in like all these. Was that the same year that Kunitz and Cam Ward came in?
Yes. I remember the big announcement of the big free agent signings that they had were Cam Ward, Chris Kunitz, and Brandon Manning.
Yeah, because Quenneville wanted a physical defenseman, a scoring veteran winger, and a solid goalie. So he got 400-year-old Cam Ward, 500-year-old Chris Kunitz, and bum-ass Brandon Manning. There you go, buddy. I gave you what you asked for.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And that was, that's just a damn shame.
Yeah. Well, and then another little quick tidbit of news. I know we're up against the clock. Former Blackhawks legend Andrew Burnett is getting the Nashville Predators job back in the Central Division.
Good for him.
That's Barry Trotz's first move as GM of the Predators. I like Barry Trotz. I've always liked Barry Trotz. I think he's a great coach. But just like with the Predators, they're not going to change anything. They're going to stay as the Barry Trotz ran slogging, defensive-minded, boring-ass hockey team that is like a seventh or eighth seed and their best seasons. Whatever. But good for Andrew Burnett. He led this Florida Panthers team to the President's Trophy last year and got fired because he couldn't beat the dynasty Tampa Bay Lightning, who was in the midst of three straight Eastern Conference championships. But so it didn't hurt the Panthers in the long run because they're in the Stanley Cup final, but that's a very good hire for the Predators and will affect the Blackhawks here for the next few years.
Yep. That'll be interesting.
Lots of news. We'll be back tomorrow with two. You got something, Mario? Yep.
Yeah, just want to mention Seattle Thunderbirds in the Memorial Cup. They won their opening game of the round robin against the Peterborough Petes, but then they lost last night to the Quebec Remparts, and that was a matchup of two teams that over their last about 55, 56 games, each team had about 41 or 42 wins each. So those are two very hot favored teams in the Memorial Cup going against each other. Quebec won. So Quebec has already punched their ticket to the final. Now it comes down to either Seattle or Kamloops, depending on what happens between Quebec and Peterborough. I believe the expectation is Quebec will beat Peterborough. And that means that Seattle and Kamloops, if that happens, Seattle and Kamloops will play each other twice tomorrow night and then again in the semifinal to decide who gets to go and face Quebec in the final. So that'll be interesting to see. Obviously, Nolan Allen, Kevin Korchinski, and Colton Dock are the Blackhawks interests, among some other draft eligible players on Seattle. And you know, it's been fun to watch those guys. Nolan Allen scored in both games, which if you had said, hey, who's going to have two goals in two games for the Thunderbirds out of those three, I think Nolan Allen would have been everyone's third pick. So if you want to watch, it's on NHL Network in the US. And hey, guess who carries NHL Network and the Memorial Cup? Fubo TV.
That's
right. So go to FuboTV.com/CHGO. You can help out there. I know also someone was circulating, I guess the Seattle Thunderbirds gave out complimentary watch CHL.com streaming codes. So I can't confirm that or not, but if you find it on the internet, maybe it'll work. I don't know. But they'll play again tomorrow night against Kamloops. And then if they win, I believe they'll play, I don't want to get it confused, but tomorrow night they'll play Kamloops. If they win, they'll go to the semifinal at the very least with a chance to reach the final there.
All right, good day to give that Fubo trial a run. If you haven't done it yet, FuboTV.com/CHGO. Jump on that 7-day free trial and you'll fall in love with it and become a full-time subscriber very shortly after that. Fellas, production meeting on the air. We got a lot of people with a lot of random questions in the chat. Should we do a mailbag tomorrow?
Why not?
Sure.
All right. Mailbag
Monday Wednesday. On a Wednesday.
There you go. Get those questions in at CHGO_Blackhawks, blackhawks@allchgo.com, or hit us up on our members only Discord. We'll get all your questions answered on tomorrow's show. Restart at 2. One final reminder as well. Thursday, we'll preview the Stanley Cup final with TNT's Liam McHugh and see if he can get us Gretzky. Just 5 minutes with Wayne. He owes us one, damn it.
Yeah. Well, just make sure when you double check with Liam, make sure that he sends you his flight itinerary. So that way we'll know exactly where he'll be and where we'll fit in.
Exactly. All right. Want to remind everybody one last time, even though I did it twice already, that we are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top rated sportsbook. Download the app and use that promo code CHGO when you sign up. For Greg and Mario, I'm Jay. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.